welcome to Life with the Girlfriends.
Yay.
With Christy, Marie, and Julie.
Yay, Julie.
I just want to say right now, everyone, we're going to have a special show today.
Very special.
And should we let the show begin?
No, not right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, light her up.
Guess it's on.
I think we're ready.
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Scary, isn't it?
Let's do it!
Tell us what you saw, man.
He's blind.
Oh. Sorry, dude!
All right. If you're wondering what you just
heard. What is this about? Sorry, dude.
Sorry, dude. What I was playing there was the first like 40 seconds of the person we're interviewing, his calling card, his director's reel on it. And it is davidwinning.com. It's his director's reel.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to say something real cool,
yeah,
real fast.
But we had a great time.
We had a great time interviewing this man. We're interviewing him because, first off, he's part of this wonderful film festival this weekend in Houston, Illinois. Houston, Illinois. What the hell
really?
Am I talking about?
Really?
Houston, Texas. Houston people will come to me myself and shoot me for even suggesting those Texans are from Illinois.
Now there's a mass exodus from people in Illinois.
Exactly. Moving sorry, to Houston. Houston people. Houstonites. I'm really sorry. But if you go to worldfest.org, it's a great... there's a wonderful film festival,
yes,
happening this weekend.
Yes.
Lots of different films. But David Winning, who directed many, many TV episodes, different movies, but he's also directed recently, I say recently, in this part of his life, 25 Hallmark movies. Now, I find this very fascinating because he started his career out in sci-fi, in horror, in kind of niche, kind of
Van
fun
Helsing.
Stuff. Van Helsing.
Friday now, the 13th.
I want to say something about Van Helsing,
the
really cute.
Power
cool.
Rangers.
Van Helsing, which I loved.
Yes.
The TV show. But what was really weird, I didn't realize it. It has one of my favorite actresses in it right now because I'm an FBI fan,
yeah,
on CBS.
Yeah.
And the star of that is Missy Pilgrim. I think that's how you pronounce
her name. Oh, yeah.
She's in Van Helsing. And I didn't connect the dots. I'm like, oh, she just looks so familiar.
How did you
not? Remember her in that movie a long, long time ago with Jeff Bridges where she's this... gymnast, and it's all, you know.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
movie.
I thought it was a fun, great
cute,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute, right? Yeah, you know, she's a rebel, but she's, you know, she got in trouble with the law, and now she's got to go become a gymnast.
Dang, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's
tough. Something like that.
How horrible!
But I love that movie, and to find out that, you know, I love her in FBI, and I'm like, oh my God, David Winning directed her. Another 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
I just love it.
But I had my 6 degree of separation with
yes,
him,
yes, you
too.
Did. What was it?
Because I was saying that Blake Shelton's my hall pass.
That's right.
And Blake Shelton produced this movie that he's showing at the World Fest in Houston this weekend.
Yes. And what's the movie called?
Called Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas. It's
yes.
long, but it's worth it.
The title's long. The movie's just a normal size movie.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
So we suggest you go into davidwinning.com, look at all the movies he's directed, and if you even
like
are
45 plus.
Yeah, he's a working
dude.
Director.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with his work.
We
talk about
awestruck.
Drones, we talk about how they make these, you know, these movies.
No.
We just had a great time.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, very
yeah.
generous with his time.
Yes.
We hung out. It was fun. But it's different than who we usually are.
But if you guys are in the area, we want to fly to Houston to see this.
Because planes are cheap. Let's just be real here.
That's true.
You know.
And
we spent $60 in Taichung yesterday.
It's an international, as we did.
That's half of a plane ticket to Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
but it's
all
an international film festival, guys.
Yes, international film festival.
And he's won 25, I guess they call them Remy's.
Yep.
Which is like an Emmy, but it's like really an Emmy.
That's right.
I call it a Remy.
But you can go to worldfest.org to find out more and to support them. And if you can't go this year, guess what? There's one next year. So
this is a 56th one.
56th one.
Yeah.
So everyone, really enjoy this interview. We had a great time.
We had a fun time.
The sound quality will be a little different.
Sure.
But it's definitely good. Oh, it's time to start the show.
Okay.
So hello, everyone. This is Christine Marie and Julie, Life with the Girlfriend.
Hello, everyone.
And today we've got a special podcast because it is special. You guys have heard us talk so much about how we love the arts, how we love, our screenplay, how we have fun with it, and all this good stuff. And we have the honor of really interviewing a pretty impressive working director.
Right.
Yeah. And when I mean working, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about, I don't know how he has time to sleep.
I'm an overachiever.
And we're going to go through his film a little bit. And he's here because he really wants, we do have fans in Houston. We have people in Texas. But there's this great film festival happening in Texas this weekend.
That's right.
And we want people to go and enjoy themselves because it's so much fun.
Why don't we let David talk about it?
Yes, go with David. Thank you.
Hi, guys.
David, Gang, tell us a little about yourself, David Winning.
I'm so glad you asked me. It's wonderful to talk to you. I'm speaking to you from Calgary, Alberta, my hometown.
Thank you. Yes.
And by the way, I don't want to interrupt you, but I've been to Calgary. I love Calgary.
Oh, good. No good. Well, it's just becoming springtime here.
Yeah,
and the Calgary Stampede, of course, too.
Yeah, there you go. The first thing you realize when you get off is like, oh, yeah, they get cold there in the wintertime because there's plug-ins for your vehicle everywhere.
I know. It's like, what are these? Whenever I have my vehicles anywhere else in the world, they're like, why is there this plug hanging out of the front of your car?
What is
it's
that
because
for?
If you don't have this in December, your car does not start.
That's right. Got to keep that oil warm somehow.
Yep.
But,
yeah, so, I'm excited to talk to you guys. I'm heading to Houston tomorrow for the World Fest Film Festival, the Houston Film Festival, which has been running since 1967. It's the oldest independent film festival in the United States, and I've been going there since, not every year, but I started bringing, I think, one of my first films down in the early 90s, and Hunter Todd and Kathleen, who run the festival, with all these really great people, have just been so supportive of all the stuff I've done over the years that it had been 4 or 5 years since I've been back, so I was excited to go back this year.
Oh,
and I don't really have a film in competition, but I'm bringing down. It's a courtesy screening from Hallmark, so they don't charge for it. But it's my last movie I did for Hallmark, which aired in the States and all over in December last year.
Yeah,
it's called.
Right. Do they keep showing them, don't they? The Hallmark movies, like it may play once or twice a year, or does it? Are they?
No, in perpetuity. I think they're the people who came up with the expression "Christmas in July." So I thought I would jump the bandwagon and get Christmas in April happening in Texas.
That's right, Christmas in April. That's going to be. It's going to be. You're a free film that people can see for free.
Yeah, I think they have
29th.
To go April 29th. They have to go through the festival, I think, to get passes because it's a limited number of seating. I think I don't know what the theaters hold, but they have a website and you can get tickets online for all the movies, not just mine, but they're running a whole bunch of movies, great movies. Mm-hmm. They have independent premieres and then they also run short films as well.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's just worldfest.org, and you'll go right there to the Houston International World Fest. World Fest Houston International Film Festival. There it is.
There you go.
And you can get your tickets right there.
And they're great people and they're great hosts and they really put on a great show. They have and on the end of the weekend on Sunday they have a big regatta in Galveston Bay, and they also do like bus tours to NASA, which is tons of fun.
Oh, that's great. I saw some sort of commercial or something. It said something about the yacht club or the regatta.
I didn't
realize that it was. Yeah, that's awesome. So, you want to talk about a little bit about the film that you're showcasing?
The one that's running on the 29th is the fifth in a series of films based on a song that Blake Shelton wrote back in the 80s called "Time for Me to Come Home." And his mother loved the song, and she wrote a book to go with it. And I guess Hallmark channel really liked the whole concept. So they eventually, over 5 years, developed 5 movies out of it, which has been fun. And they're not really related movies other than Blake's Christmas song plays in them at some point. But I was lucky enough to do directed the first one and the third one, and this one is the fifth one. It's called Time for Him to Come Home for Christmas. They all have the same kind of title. It's the longest title in Christmas movie history.
I was gonna say that. So you directed the very first one as well.
Yeah, I did. And this one stars Tyler Hines and Holland Roden, who are both, well, Holland's first film for Hallmark, but they loved her. And Tyler Hines, if you're a Hallmark fan, is a big hero with Hallmark Channel. He's done a bunch of those movies, and he's great. They're both really great. It's a really nice Christmas romance, and it turned out really well, and I'm very proud of it. And it's kind of fun to take a Christmas movie to the desert in Texas in the middle of April.
Oh, yes. It always looks so fun on the sets of these Christmas movies. You know,
it's my job to make it fun. The fun part about Christmas movies, well, I've done so many of them now. It's like they're filmed in July and August when it's 100 degrees outside, and the poor extras are bundled up in parkas and scarves and toques and mittens, and it's fake snow's falling, soap flakes. Spoiler alert, it's not.
No.
And it's fun. It takes a few months to get the films finished, so they usually are shot in July and August or in September, and then they're finished up in time to air.
How much time do you guys allow yourself to actually film with the actors? I know there's a lot of post and a lot of pre-production stuff.
Well, they're made really quickly, 15 days usually. There's 15 days of prep and then
That's
15
it.
Days of shooting, so it's barely 3 weeks. And, 5 day weeks. But it's very, very busy days, 12-hour days.
It's
a lot of fun. And they are fun because, you know, it's like having Christmas all year when you're making these movies.
Yeah. Okay, I got to ask you a question because, you know, my mom goes, oh, my gosh, I wonder if now I'm totally, like, less than 6 degrees separated from Blake Shelton.
Yes.
So, have you met Blake Shelton?
Never.
Or is it just – never? Okay.
I hate to burst the bubble. No, I've never met Blake. Blake liked the first movie, and I think when they get to the third movie, he said, bring that other guy back that did the first movie. So he may know my name, but I've never actually met him. He's not on set. He sort of signed the rights over to the movie, but he's kind of involved in casting and he certainly does shout outs for us on his show, which is great, and tweets and stuff. So he's still involved because it's still his song and it's his mother's book. So, and he gets executive producer credit.
That's sweet. I know. I told my husband that he'd be my hall pass.
There you go. Well, you can still say 6 degrees of separation, though, because we're still connected. We worked on the same film.
That's right.
Yes, exactly. We'll take it. I just want to say to shout out to the film festival again. There are so many wide varieties of films playing. Yes, you can get to see this lovely Christmas movie for free. And it feels like there's a lot of different categories in these films. I mean, there might even be like a couple of scary ones, maybe comedy. But I love it that we all go out and we support. And I'm just trying to, I wonder what I'm doing right now. I'm like, I had my whole list of all the movies that were out, but I just can't.
Well, I was thinking of some of the titles. But the idea to support these, you know, independent filmmakers.
It's not just American films. They're from all over the world. There's Chinese films there. There's a film from Nigeria. There's African films, and I'm quite proud of the fact that the film I'm bringing down is the only Canadian film running this year. there's some Canadian shorts, which is great, but we have the only Canadian feature, and it's like I said, it's a special screening, so it's not really as part of the festival, but they're still there. And I really like the people so much, and they've done so much for me that I always feel like I have to support them and give back. And I saw a picture of
six of the, I don't know if they were the, you know, founders or if they just look like, you know, hey, this is our mission. This is what we want to do to support, you know, the filmmakers that are just trying hard. And it is a tough industry to even break into. But the idea that a lot of people nowadays are using like GoFundMes and crowdsources and things like that to, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And people people are making movies with their iPhones now, and they're actually broadcast quality, and they're pretty good.
Yeah. And it's a way to get in, to get some experience, to get proficient enough to at least get your foot kind of in a door.
Absolutely.
You know, can I ask how your trajectory went a little bit? What was your, like, how did you go from directing your first episode for a sci-fi series to doing Hallmark? I mean, I know you've been in the business for a long time.
Yeah,
but,
well, I know, I was just thinking.
Pretty awesome.
I'm getting into my 36th year of directing now. I started out, well, way back when I was 10, my dad got me a movie camera for my 10th birthday. And it's really his fault. I blame him. So I made I made a lot of movies through my teen years, you know, lots of, and a lot of them ended up on YouTube, actually, which is kind of fun. But, yeah, a lot of movies there. And then I was going to go to film school, and I had this brilliant idea when I was 20 that I would just take all the money that we had been kind of raising to go to film school. I wanted to go to California, USC. And I said, you know what, let's just make a movie. And my dad was kind of stunned, but he was right behind me, and he supported me. So we took all the money that was destined for film school, and I went out and bought film stock and a bunch of friends in the early 80s, and I went out and made my first feature-length film. And I thought, well, if this bombs, at least I'll go out in a spectacular explosion. I'll have spent all this money.
What was the name of it?
It was a film called Storm. It's still in, well, it used to, when they had video cassettes in 7-Eleven. It was in every 7-Eleven. I used to get a nickel every time it was rented. But yeah, it was a great experience. I basically created my own film course, and so it took me 4 or 5 years to. I wrote it myself. I'm actually in it in a small part because, of course, you don't have enough money for actors, so you have to kind of play all the parts. So I was in it a little bit, and yeah, it was just my friends and I out filming this little movie for 4 weeks in the summer of 1983 in the forests of Alberta, Canada. And it kind of launched me, which was great.
But you're right, though. When you don't, like, we make, like, these little Christmas movies every year with the family, and I have, like, an assortment of wigs in the closet because you do play every part. You just,
yeah.
Like, oh, I can't find, you know, blah, blah, blah. I guess I can play the Grinch this year, you know, in addition to everything else.
Well,
and, like, here's your wig, and now you're Miss Maples, Mrs. Maples, or Mrs. Marples,
In hindsight, I probably taught myself more in 4 years than I would have learned in film school, just trying to make this film to get it made. And then what happened? Then somebody fell out of a series in Toronto, and I ended up being flown down to do an episode of Friday the 13th, the TV series, way back then, in the 90s. And then kind of one thing led to another. And, you know, it's easy to look back at the career and think, I planned all this, but I didn't plan anything. It's just kind of one thing leads to another, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, but you had to, first of all, you had to have some talent. You had to keep showing up.
Yep.
You had to
know the thing television taught me was if you don't get the day done in 12 hours, there'll be a different director there tomorrow finishing the show.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
an interesting thing to say. I appreciate that because a lot of times people are like, oh, it's the art that counts. It's the art. Yes, and a budget and a 12-hour workday. Okay, we don't want to go on longer than that.
Well, that's why they call it show business, because it is business.
No kidding.
And but it's been a lot of fun, and it's been kind of a whirlwind career. I've been all over the place. And about 6 or 7 years ago, I was directing, you know, a very violent vampire series on Netflix called Van Helsing, which I'm really proud of.
Yeah.
And for some reason, that seemed to be the perfect choice for a director for Hallmark Christmas movies. So they approached me and I said, yeah, I guess so. I don't know if I'm the right guy for this, but and I did a little movie about a puppy at Christmas called Magic Stocking in 2015. That was my first Hallmark movie, and this one I'm bringing down on Saturday is my 25th Hallmark movie.
So you're doing like two or three a year?
I've tried to do two or three a year if with any luck. I mean, some years have been different than others, but I've been really lucky. And I don't only do the Hallmark movies. I've worked on other series and a lot of science fiction and stuff over my career too. So kind of a bit of everything, which has been a lot of fun. It makes the career very exciting. You never know where you're going to be.
No, I guess not. But you know, we do know where you're going to be on
Houston.
Friday.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm flying down for the weekend.
Enjoying Texas.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And I'm gonna enjoy seeing all the friends there that I haven't seen in a few years.
So David, do you light up your house at Christmas time like the Hallmark channels do?
No, I go to Hawaii. I'm kidding. Of course. It's funny to think because I get so overdosed with Christmas all year. But sure enough, when December shows up, I still get in the Christmas spirit, and we still put up lights and tree and the whole thing. Yeah, I have to admit, we still do. I try to pretend I run away to Hawaii, but that hasn't quite worked out yet. So,
is there another Hallmark movie in your future?
There is actually. It's one we filmed. It's filmed already, but it was a fall movie. It was an autumn film, and we shot it in November and December in Vancouver while the leaves were still orange. And it's coming out in August or September. I can't tell you who's in it yet because Hallmark hasn't announced it yet, but it's called Field Day.
And it's coming out.
It's the new one coming out. And hopefully maybe there'll be even another one by then. Who knows? But this was a specific seasonal one.
My 90-year-old aunt turns the TV to Hallmark and leaves it on until she goes to bed at night.
That's fine.
And that's the channel of choice. And I think, Julie, I think Rebecca's dad is also like
it.
There are just many, many people that they leave it on and they know what they are going to get. It's not going to, no gore and all that stuff. So Hallmark is, does a lovely service. And when you... I kind of watched, there was one with Brooke Shields in it last year. I don't know if she was.
Was that Hallmark or was that Netflix?
I can't remember.
I think it was Netflix.
That's okay.
I've done a bunch with, I'm sure they must have seen my films then if they've got it on 24 hours a day because I've done too many to miss now. They keep rerunning them every year, which is great. I've done a bunch with Lacey Chabert and a bunch with Aaron Krakow from When Calls the Heart.
I know Lacey. Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with her work.
Yeah.
Now, this is just a totally, more like in the weeds kind of question. So, like, you're done with your production. I mean, does Hallmark have, like, their studios in Calgary that where you edit all your stuff? Or do you have a place that where you, like, in your home where you do all your work? Or
no, usually in Vancouver they hire an editor, and the editors, you're kind of working with the editor while you're filming the movies. And then, and once you finish filming after the 15 days, the editor goes to work and they put together a kind of an assembly cut, and it takes about two or three weeks. Mm-hmm. And then what follows that? Then they've got to put music and special effects in and stuff like that.
Right.
So the whole process usually takes a few months, but it's usually kind of in house in the sense that it's done in Vancouver. Different editors that I work with and different crews and production companies, mm-hmm. but. And then Hallmark takes it on, and they do all the final work, and then they broadcast it out of
one of my writing classes several years ago, the greatest question everybody wanted to know was, like, what is the there's, like, the formula, for this Hallmark movie, and, like, each little segment has to be, like, a little movie or cliffhanger in and of itself, and...
Yeah.
There's just this like total formula that everybody wanted to know about, But
there is and there isn't. Usually the films, the basic structure is usually all the same. They're always about 90 minutes long, and they usually have about 8 or 9 acts in the script, and they're always, 9 or 10 minutes long in the acts. But the challenge for me as a director is to take that and try to make each movie as different as you can, mm-hmm. and try to find some inspiration and make them surprising, because when I started out doing the Hallmark movies, of course, you get teased because people think, oh, they're all the same, all the plots are the same, and blah, blah, blah. And then you find out that there's all sorts of closet Hallmark watchers, and that's why 85 million people watched these movies last year in the States and Canada.
Great, yeah.
I mean, it's become a huge kind of beacon of hope, I think, for some people, because as I've said a million times, in dark times, people tend to gravitate to this kind of entertainment because it's safe and it's warm and loving and positive, and maybe it's predictable and maybe it isn't. I mean, I'm trying to make them as kind of surprising as I can with the shows. And also, there's been a shift in management in Hallmark last few years, and they're starting to do a little bit more humor and a little bit more storylines for all sorts of people to watch, which is I think is wonderful. I mean, the movies are just great to make. They're fun to make.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So you do the Christmas ones. Do you also do all the mystery ones too, or are you not into that?
I did. I did one of the crossword mysteries with
Lacey. That's Lacey.
We did.
Yes,
okay. That's Lacey.
We did one called Riddle Me Dead last year with.
I saw that one.
Yeah, that was the game show host that got murdered on his set.
Yeah.
And then Lacey and Brendan had to come in and solve the mystery. Are you fans of Brendan Elliott?
No, I don't.
He's the co-star in the crossword movies. He's great. Yeah. He actually went to the same high school I did in Calgary.
Oh.
He's in Canadian.
Was he the reason why
you
got cast? It was like a little bit like a, yeah, get
it. Well, it was actually weird. It was one of those things like, hey, I heard you're from Western Canada. Yeah, whereabouts Calgary? Yeah, me too. Whereabouts in Calgary? Oh, North Calgary. Really? Whereabouts Northwest in Charleswood? Really? What high school did you go to? Eberhardt. And it was one of those kind of, oh, my God, this kismet. Of course, he's 20 years younger than me, so. which is why he's a star.
shout out to Calgary people.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go. This is the Calgary shout out. Yeah.
They're just pumping those directors and actors out of there.
Exactly.
You said when you went to Canada, or when you went to Calgary, there were four quadrants you thought about, and you thought that you were going to just walk to the hotel.
Yeah. I have a distinct memory of this, of me going to the zoo, taking the train to the zoo, and then once I got out of it and then getting back in, I'm like, wait a minute, how do I get back to my hotel? And like everything was a quadrant, and I'm like, oh, I'm in the wrong quadrant, I'm walking the wrong way. Somehow I got way lost, way confused. I ended up walking like 12 miles that day, and I'm like, I finally got it. There was no Uber at that moment.
it's weird growing up here because Calgary is very sort of what I thought all cities were like this. It's just got a downtown in the center, and it's got four quadrants, and it's all very specific and north, south, east, west. And then I went to other cities and realized, oh, okay, everything's not like this.
Nobody's like that. I was like, wait, I'm in the wrong quadrant. Thank you for saying that, because my mom was like, what do you mean there's quadrants? I go, Mom, I think there's quadrants. I remember getting lost in one, and I had to be in a different quadrant, and I'm like, oh, no.
And then you travel to someplace like London, and it's completely impossible to drive, and you don't know how to get anywhere, and I was completely lost. That's the city I got lost in.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, if you're going to get lost someplace, I guess it's in London.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I've been to Houston so many times now that I actually know my way around a little bit, which is a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to getting there on the weekend.
Yeah, I guess they didn't have it during the COVID years.
No, they didn't. But Hunter Todd, who runs the festival, was kind enough to he goes around to various different other festivals all over the world because he's really connected with all the film festivals. And they invited me in 2019. I think 3 weeks before COVID started, they invited me to Seoul, Korea. So I went over to Seoul and met them up there and had a great time with some folks and then came back and the world shut down.
Then the world shut down, yeah. My God, so you really are affiliated very closely with these. Oh, that's lovely.
Well, I owe them a lot because they really, you know, when you're starting out a filmmaker and you get the support of a festival like that, they really gave me a boost, and I may have quit the business, but I got a lot of support early on, so I have a lot of people to owe thanks to.
Yeah.
How many awards did you win from them? It's the Remy, right, or is it?
Yeah, I think I'm up to maybe it's over 25, I think, now, over the years.
Over 25 Remy. Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, they've been very kind to me.
Just a few.
They're kind to Canada, too. They like Canada, so they're sending
them. So, like, are they displayed in your house
They're in my mom's cabinet. Yeah, it's the usual corny story where you don't put them up anywhere; you give them to mom.
That's right.
My mom passed away a couple of years ago, but she got to be 98, and she was a huge Hallmark fan. So I think she finally felt like I had arrived. My son's making Hallmark movies. This is so wonderful. Yeah. He actually has a job.
That's right. And your dad helped you with your first.
Yeah, my parents are wonderful. They're both gone now, but they were incredibly supportive when I started out. Because I came from a very academic family. You know, my dad was a chemical engineer, and my mom was worked as a dietitian, and my brother was into social work. And then I came along saying, I want to make movies. So they once they thought, this kid's never going to make money. You know, but no, they were very supportive and loving, and it was a great place to grow up.
Yeah, and at least they didn't give you a magic kit for your first it was a film camera. And
oh, the magic kit was when I was 9. I got the magic kit the year earlier.
Okay. But you're like, no, I'm not going to do it.
No, I think I'll make movies instead.
That's right.
Well, I just want to say one thing, though.
Yeah.
If everybody goes to davidwinning.com, your director's reel, it's like 3.5 minutes long. Whoever did it, it's wonderful.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's just a snippet of a lot of the work you've done. It's
wonderfully produced.
Wonderfully produced. And what a fun, fun thing. I'm like going, I want to see all these movies right now.
Yeah.
Bless your heart. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's
version number
300 of my director's reels. You do a lot of them over the years. And I think I finally just stopped. I said, this one's great. And I had a guy cut it together for me in Los Angeles a few years ago, and it was sort of during COVID when everybody was at home doing their own projects,
yeah.
And it was when I relaunched my website, which I hope people go visit because you'll learn more than you'll ever want to know about me.
It does show. I know. I feel like I'm a little awestruck because I'm just like this is like so much fun, and to really be able to speak to someone that's like really kind of just a working dude in the industry, and just by the way you talk, I can tell you know, I was going to say a bad word, but a lot about the industry, and it's exciting to you know, to hear you know, more about this, and the fact that there are people out there like the Houston, the World Fest, that really celebrate and help the independent filmmakers, the little guys, so to speak, give you a foot up, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you. It's just, you know, it sounds corny, but it's an honor to entertain people. That's why that's kind of what I spent my life doing, and I've been really fortunate. And, you know, it's lucrative. It's a lucrative job. You're not always busy. There's years that are kind of quiet, but mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun making entertainment for people over the years. So I'm happy. And it keeps you young, too, which is great.
Yeah. You sound like it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how old I am. I'm a lot older than I sound.
Well, here's my research. You're going to have a birthday soon.
Yeah, thank you. Happy birthday to me. I'll be 29 again. It's so wonderful.
Yeah. Just like Jack Benny. What was it? He was always
39.
39.
He was endlessly 39, yeah.
That's right.
Well, I just want to, just because we have you on here, I need
Absolutely.
To ask this question.
Yeah.
To people who are budding screenplay writers or wannabe directors professionally, because there's so many streaming opportunities out there, it does seem there are just this high demand for more and more content.
Constantly,
and because
yeah.
you can do it yourself on YouTube, making things with your phone. So you do get this wide variety of like, hey, you can do it on a cheap, do it all yourself. But how would you suggest someone try to get to become, you know, just a working director, a working writer? Is it just by just start creating, get it out there?
Oh, yeah. I think whenever you get your hands on a camera and you want to make movies, get some friends together and just start trying to tell stories and learn how to do it better, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started, it was just costly and you had to get film equipment. And I just think stuff is just so much more accessible now because, like you say,
yeah.
a lot of filmmakers are starting out on YouTube and I think that's where I would start. My usual advice to people is try to imagine the feature film that you really want to make, your dream movie that you really want to make. And, of course, that's a little too hard and vast. Why not make the trailer for that film? Like make a little 2-minute sample of what your film is going to be like. And then it becomes kind of your calling card for being a director or being a writer as well. But
you want to teach a master's class.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll do that. I'd love to. I'm not sure if I'm a good teacher, but it's kind of hard. I'm good at trying to get people excited about making stuff, but actually directing is very sort of instinctual, and I don't know how good I am at trying to teach that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like you get years of experience to figure it out, but I always just push people to go.
You have to have that image in your head, though, you know, about what you want. And also you have to have the image of whether you want it to be sort of, you know, kind of a comedic way to say it, or how you want to, you know, just a lot of different, and it's all in your mind.
Yep.
To get it out there is.
The thing is just to do it. I mean, really just do it. I mean, when I was 22, I was just a kid making movies in my backyard, and I never thought I'd even get one feature made, let alone, well, I just finished my 45th now. But, I mean, I never thought any of that was going to happen. I just kind of forced the first movie into existence. And what was going for me was I was so naive. I just thought I won't fail. I'll just go make this movie, and somehow someone will see it. If it's good enough, it'll be seen. And it was, you know, it took 4 or 5 years, but I got it finished, and that gave me a great launch.
A nickel for every 7-Elevens.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know if they have 7-Elevens.
Yeah,
here
well,
anymore.
I think you can probably find Storm on YouTube. The whole movie.
Wow.
I didn't just say that. It's out there somewhere. I don't get a nickel for that, unfortunately. It's all good.
So you have to guess the title. I was going to say guess the title. Here's the title of mine screenplay that I would make a trailer for.
Mom, did you literally just say guess this title?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Please don't.
David, don't waste one moment trying to guess this title.
It's time to play guess this title.
And you know, I'm sorry. It's called The Sinkhole de Mayo.
That's good. That's a good. Yeah. You got a good title. There you go. That's half the battle.
Yeah. And I have about 37 pages of a pretty good screenplay.
Well, good for you.
Well, that's not true, Mom.
But at least you're doing it. That's 37 more pages than somebody who doesn't have any pages. So that's good.
That's right.
You have 37 reworked pages of a whole screenplay.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I got to work it better. And at some point, somebody's got to say, hey, you know, let's just go out to where you have it showed is in, you know, New Mexico, and let's just film it, Mom.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's just take our iPhones and our family, and let's just get it done.
Get in our little camper and drive out there.
You know, when I was 22, this is going to sound funny, but I literally took 100 pages, blank pages, and I numbered them 1 to 100, and I said, this is going to be my script, and I'm going to write this, and I put the page numbers on before I started writing. And I actually just forced myself over, I think it took 3 weeks, which is kind of fast. But that was my very first, second script.
That is
for
genius. That's how I think, too. Like, not that I'm a genius, but that you, like, 100 pages to me would equal, like 100 minutes. You know, like, there's your movie.
Yep. Well, it's that easy. There's a great book out there. I think I'm not getting any money from this, but I think the writer's name is Vicky King. I'm not sure. It's in one of my binders here. It's a book called How to Write a Movie in 21 Days.
Ooh.
And I recommend it to anybody. It's just, it's like, just force your ideas onto paper and just get your ideas on paper and think of what your movie's going to be, and you can always rewrite it, and it's not going to be perfect, but at least it's going to be there.
Yeah. You're done.
And it gives you something to chew on and to keep working over. Yeah, and it is your calling card in a way.
Exactly. It's like how to make a sculpture of an elephant. You've heard this. You get a giant block of stone, and you carve away everything that doesn't look like an elephant.
That's right. See, you would make a good master class teacher. You really would. I'm going to give you, I'm going to put the second title of my second one out.
Oh, good.
It's called Zomboys.
Ooh. Z-O-M-B-O-Y-Z. And what's that about?
Yes. But now, here's the thing. That sounds like they're kind of scary, right? But in my mind, they're a team of wrestlers. I don't know. Should I stick with having them?
Of course.
You've written Zomboys, so the answer is yes, Mom. But you see, because you keep changing, you've actually have two works that are completed. And Zomboys is your ragtag hero traveling wrestling group, you know.
Love it.
Yeah. And see,
I could use that validation.
Yeah, and why can't they just end up in, like, Frankmuth, you know, is it called Frankmuth?
Frankenmuth, Michigan?
Yes, Frankenmuth, and then now it's now a wrestling/Christmas Hallmark movie. That would be great.
Love that. It all works. You have to just force these things into existence. You just have to imagine, and I'm really big into sort of just imagining things and trying to make them real, because that's kind of how I started. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be a working film director for 40 years, but it was a hobby of mine, and I couldn't handle the 9-to-5 life, so I just tried to find a way to make it happen.
Yeah.
Are there days when you wake up going, oh, I'm so happy I get to film this kind of scene today?
Yeah, I do. I do still. I still do get really excited about it. I think the day that I don't get excited going on a set and making movies and working with actors and creating something is I'm just going to retire. Because you really have to have a lot of passion to keep it going. Because it's not an easy business, but it's a ton of fun, and you just get to work with such amazing people.
Do you believe that scenes can be perfect, or you're like, oh, that's good enough? Because every scene could be shot so differently, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you could. And the thing is, part of the advantage of having 15 days to make a movie is you do run out of time. And you just have to get it. You just have to make it as good as you can in the time you have. And I work with so many talented. Well, I work with so many talented people that they just make me look good, which is great.
I'm going to ask another silly question, but it feels like in the last 10 years we've been able to get a lot of overhead shots. Is it because there's just so much good drones?
I use drones all the time. Drones are amazing, but the truth of the question, the answer to that is really that the cameras have become so much smaller and lighter. That you can get cameras up higher, even for like locked off aerial shots, not necessarily moving drone shots, but just the equipment is so much more portable now that you can actually get them into all sorts of fun places. But definitely drones have kind of revolutionized the film business, I think, in the last 5 or 10 years. It's just, I use them all the time. I love it. It just gives such a kind of a vast expanse to.
I do too. I'm like,
it makes a difference.
That's a great shot.
Yeah.
I love that shot.
I said that a million times. It's like, that was a good shot. There.
Yeah. Like, how did they do that shot? I love that. Or where, like, oh, is that shot done? I go, I don't see the reflection in the glass. Did they take it out in post-production, or is it not there?
The thing is, once you kind of like the industry, and you never look at a movie or anything the same way again. You're always looking, like you said, for the reflection. Or something else.
Well, I mean, I've been directing for 40 years, and honestly, I still can enjoy movies. I can still get into them. I just shut that part of it off. You kind of want to believe movies are real when you're watching them, because it's much more enjoyable. I don't like to pick things apart and say, wait a minute, that cigarette keeps changing length every time they cut to the close-up. What's going on? Oh, you mean this isn't real? No, it's a movie.
Now, I know that we haven't, I mean, I'm a big movie fan. And so I love going to the theater, but since COVID, I haven't gotten my jam back to it. I used to go, I would say at least twice a month, if not three times a month, to the theater and just love it. And I just haven't found my groove. And yet, you know, I know that in 2 months it's going to be on some streaming site shortly. Have you seen a movie lately, or what's your last movie that you saw in a theater?
Last movie I saw in the theater was John Wick 4.
Course.
Which I loved, and before that, I think was...
Okay, you did love it, because I'm a John Wick fan.
Oh, I love action. I love action films that are really well done, and the John Wick series is just so impressive, because it's like, it's not cut. It's like real ballet, kind of, it's violent, obviously, but it's just such a beautiful, choreographed, stylish action sequences. And Keanu Reeves is wonderful. You know, he's just lovable. And I think the whole series is great. And then before that, the big movie was James Bond, the last James Bond movie that we waited 4 years to come out.
Oh, sure,
That was fun to see.
Yeah, saw that one from the theater. That was good. Or did I see it on streaming? I don't know.
What was it, Julie Skyfall?
No. It's the last one of Daniel
Craig. No Time to Die.
There's No Time to Die.
Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert, he does.
Shh. Okay, please turn your radios off.
Listen, we've been discussed. It's everybody's. We know.
Well, if it's any luck, we'll get Idris Elba back as the new James Bond.
I think that would be a very interesting, wonderful choice.
Yes.
I don't think he wants to do it, though, because it takes 10 years of your life away. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how old he is, but...
And he is, it's British, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I love the way he comes across on the screen, no matter what he's in. Mm-hmm. I just love the way he comes across on the screen. Very impressive.
I know, I would like to talk to forever.
You haven't asked me hardly any science fiction questions yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't want to take up much of your time, David.
I know, we want to be so respectful of your time.
No, I appreciate you guys talking to me. I just like the fact that I can promote Houston, which is what I'm really wanting to do.
Let's talk science fiction.
Well, you know, I'm gonna start taking it because, like, here it goes. I mean, if you look at your film credits, which you don't need to because you've lived them, but if somebody on the outside goes, "Oh my God, I want the career of David Winning. How do I get his career?" Because you start off, you know, you're doing like you said, the Friday the 13th. You had.
I really liked that series, by the way. I really did.
I'm glad you did. Yeah, I did three of them. I wouldn't know how to guide anybody into my career. I think the main thing is I never said no to anything, which is why you get this kind of wide variety of stuff. You know, I did a series I'm really proud of that I'm not sure you guys have seen, but it was on Nickelodeon. It's called Afraid of the Dark.
No.
And it was a kids' scary series. It was like Twilight Zone for kids.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, and I did that for four seasons, and I just loved it. And still to this day, people come up to me and said, "You know, you scared the Jesus out of me when I was five." And I think, sorry.
Did you have to go to when they had the awards and you get slimed?
No, I never got slimed. That was always the one. It's on my bucket list of things that I never got to do. I never got slimed. But I did. I've done four or five different series for Nickelodeon over the years, so it's been fun. I mean, I've done a bit of everything. A lot of kids series, a lot of, you know, I've done westerns. I've done, as you just mentioned, sci-fi.
Okay, so I'm going to ask some weird questions. Is there like an Indeed or here are the directors that are open during this season and we want to film this? Oh, David Winning. I mean, like, how does the next one come? Is it by word of mouth or are you literally on contract with Hallmark?
Oh, no. No, I have directors usually have agents, and I've got an agent in Vancouver and a manager in Los Angeles that I've been working with over the last 10 or 15 years, and they change occasionally. You know, you shift around, but those are the folks that are always out petitioning, trying to get you work. And I try to keep the eye out. You know, I mean, you always look at what your favorite TV series is and you think, gee, I'd love to do one of those episodes. So I try to petition to get on things when I can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Cool, because that's the thing, because you don't, you know, it's such a non-traditional gig. You know, it's a finite gig, unless you're on Law & Order SVU for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like you're destined, like, oh, I can't get this job because I know it will end. And at the end, this is one project, or you might get lucky and do multiple directing episodes and so forth like that.
I liked it that you never said no.
Well, and I probably still wouldn't say no. I just, it's not like there's a kind of a fantasy that directors get, you know, they call you and they say, hey, would you like to read this script and see if you'd like to direct it? No, it's kind of like, yeah, I need a job. I'll take whatever it is. What's up? Love to work for you guys. I generally just try to work with different people all the time, and I love to travel. I did a movie in a 600-year-old Scottish castle. In the 90s with Jason Connery, Sean Connery's son. And, you know, it was accidental that happened. Somebody just said, well, we're trying to find a director. I'm in. You know,
I'm a director. Yeah, I'll do it.
Because I'd love to. I mean, that's how I travel now is I just, you know, it's fun to go to places and do all sorts of movies. I did a series for ABC in Budapest called Dinotopia. Mm. And that was just kismet. I mean, I never know how they find my name, but they do. Website helps.
Right.
And then somebody finds your name and then they look at your profile and they're like going, oh, this guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, I can honestly know that if I give him the money to direct this film, it will get done.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, well, you try to get that reputation.
Must just be a load of not to worry about that stuff anymore. Do you feel like there's been more opportunities lately because of all the streaming app, streaming areas, or is it still just as tight as ever?
Well, it's sometimes hard to get jobs. I mean, I'd always like to work more than I do, but I mean, it looks like I work all the time, but I don't work all the time. I'd love to be more busy. It's always just fun to make movies, but I think, you know, when cable TV started and suddenly there was 300 channels, they needed to be filled with something. And for a long time, reality TV kind of took over the whole world, and a lot of us directors just kind of backed off because they don't need us, you know. They do. I mean, they do have directors, but they're it's a different kind of thing. It's like documentary directing.
Well, in directing like reality, is it really scripted, or do you just?
I don't see that in your
profile. I know, but I just figured he might know.
Yeah, I am not bursting any bubbles. It's totally scripted. Spoiler alert. Yeah, it is usually very heavily scripted, I think, unless I'm wrong.
Oh, my God.
Now, I know you mentioned your children. I mean, did the bug skip them? Are they in the arts as well?
No, I don't have kids, actually.
Oh, I thought, never mind. I don't. Maybe only because your dad that took, okay.
I have stepkids.
I don't know why I thought stepkids.
No, I do have stepkids, which I don't talk about. And they're in the arts, which is kind of fun.
Okay.
But
yeah,
it kind of rubbed off a little bit.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, I don't know why I thought that. So
I liked it, Julie, when you said his dad had kids.
Yeah.
I had this story in my mind. So that's the thing. I see everything in my brain as visual.
Yes.
And so I had this story playing out in my head, and I'm like, oh, it must be true. Something's going on in my brain. I don't know where I put this together at.
You sound like you need to be a director.
There you go.
She's good.
Well, I do. Okay. You know, I'm going to take it down a notch to like the novice / I have an iPad with a movie maker on it and so forth. But I mean, literally, as our family grows, even as adults, we do produce 15, 20 minute movies all the time. And I love editing it.
Yeah, she's a great editor. We do the 48, have you ever heard of the 48 hour film project?
I have,
yeah.
You do little movies in 2 days and you finish them up and
Yes, exactly.
I know
we're crazy people.
I know they're not considered, professional in a sense, but some of them really are. Some of them are really great.
And you know what's fun, David, is that we get to the screening. It's actually in a little theater where you can see your movie on the big screen.
Love that.
It just feels so wonderful.
Yeah.
I know. That's great. You'd be surprised how good home movies can be. My home movies were really good 40 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
You take that and somehow you meet somebody and you keep saying yes and yes. You never know where it's going to lead,
And there you are.
Kind of in my old age. I'm kind of all about inspiring. I try to inspire people because I think I was very lucky to turn a hobby into my whole life. Because I don't know what I would have done. I was making movies when I was 15 and I didn't want to have a regular job, and I managed to find a way to make it work, So I don't know who said it,
but they said something like it's a blessing to make your avocation, your vocation, something like that. So
there's only one problem with it is that you end up with no hobby.
Oh,
true.
But you know what? I can.
Then we go back to the magic kit.
I'll build models or something. I don't know.
Wanted to learn how to play guitar, all those
things. Exactly.
Well, so what is there anything else we want to talk about, Lord?
No, I feel complete. I want to say, David, my mom said I could not ask you this question.
Now
we're into it. And she's like, I bet everybody asked you that question. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to ask it anyway. Do you know?
Wait. Let them guess.
Okay, you can guess. What question do you? My mom feels like everybody's asked you.
The question that everybody asked me is, would you like to read my screenplay?
Oh no. Not that. I would. But are you? Is your last name really Winning?
My last name is. Oh, you can totally ask me that. My last name is really Winning. I used to say I changed it from Losing, but my last name really is Winning, and it's a cool name to have as an adult, but I tell you what, you get beat up a lot in elementary school.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's my proud family name, and it's a very Scottish name. If you go to Scotland, there's like a 3 pages of Winnings in the phone book.
Oh, my God. So when you went to Scotland, was that your
I tried
first
to look
time?
Up. Yeah, I have relatives over there that I tried to chase down. And they're like, who is this crazy Canadian relative trying to reach us?
We're all under the king's, all under the queen's, whatever it is. It's monarch, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's an archbishop winning in Scotland. Not sure if he's still
very
alive.
Cool.
But,
Well, see, Mom, I asked him a question, and that's awesome. So I would have bet that you changed your name, but now I know it's your real name. That makes me even...
Well, it sounds like a name that you would make up, but no, it's my name. And I do buy lottery tickets every week.
Yeah, you should.
You never know. I always try to think
of
myself...
Yeah, but you won the lottery when you...
Or when, Charlie Sheen came, what was it, about 10 years ago?
No.
His phrase was always like,
winning.
Winning.
Oh, it actually was worse than that. It was, duh, winning, which is my initial. winning. So I was like, oh, no, please, Charlie, stop talking.
Would you work with Charlie Sheen?
No, I loved it. I was a big fan of Two and a Half Men, though. I thought it was a great series.
Oh, it was awesome. That was a great show.
Yeah, that was a good
show. Kind of fell apart in the last few years, but it was really funny in the first few seasons.
Oh, yeah. It was a good show. I never really missed that one.
Yeah. No. Now, Mom, you said the way you said it could have been gone either. You could have meant it either way.
Yeah.
I don't really miss it. Then you're like, no, I never missed one episode. You never did. No,
I'm just grateful, Jill, that you're participating so much because, like I said, I'm just going to.
Well, David, I'm sure you've never heard our podcast Life with a Girlfriend because it's really we're much more bodier. But the first.
Well, I guess I'm going to hear it, aren't I? Because I'm on it.
Yes,
now.
You are. I was saying, but the thing my mom said was, Julie, don't embarrass me, please. I won't. And I go, I'm going to let you run with it, Mom.
The last thing she said to me was, I'm going to let you run with it, Mom. And I said, well, just don't say everything all at once. Let's just let it play out, you know. And then it was like, hey, David, we've got this. You know, the Houston World Fest, the movie.
My mom loves to direct me in most of my life. So I say, if I could give you a award, Mama, I'd give you a award.
Thank you.
Best mom. There you go.
Best mom. Yeah, I don't know why I never gave you one of those.
Mother's Day's coming, honey.
There you go.
Well, there you go. Coming up.
So anybody, hey, you know what? Tickets to flights to Houston, not very expensive anymore. Go and do something that supports the arts. Have fun. I've been to film festivals. I love it. I love the vibe. You know when you go to Guitar Center, you leave feeling just a little bit cooler?
Yeah.
You know when you go to a film festival, you just leave a little bit cooler. Like, I'm supporting the arts. Life is good. This is fun.
Yeah.
And
you're cool. Let's just face it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do want to say, though, definitely go to davidwinning.com. Because his website's pretty awesome. And just to get inspired on what you can create.
Yes.
You know?
Be inspired.
Watch the early movies that are on there. There's a thing where you can watch my first movies, and it's kind of like that's where I started. So if I can make movies, anybody can.
Uh-huh. Well, David, that's what they all say, the greats.
Okay, I'm going to say this. Do you ever have, like, deep down, like, a career goal, like, oh, I'm not saying you haven't directed a film like The Godfather, but in the back of your mind, do you wish you're at the Academy Awards?
Oh, of course. I mean, that's a 15-year-old kid who always wanted to win an Oscar. And as I get along in my career, I think, geez, I wonder if I'm ever going to get close. But, I mean, I've just been lucky enough to make a lot of movies and a lot of TV series. 29 different TV series I've directed. And I think, wow.
And multiple episodes. I mean, just.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just so much fun. It's a really fun business, and I've been really lucky to work with some amazing people. And I don't know how I did it, so I don't know how I'm going to teach it. But
I'm going to ask you one more question then about TV compared to movie. Because I mean, is it more than 1 week that you get to finish a complete episode, or is it just you got to get done the whole week?
Yeah, well, usually the movies, as I mentioned, are like 15 days of prep and then 15 days of filming, and then when you do a TV series. It's usually about 7 or 8 days of prep and then 7 or 8 days of filming. So it's a little bit more than a week. But I did, I don't know if you remember the series Breaker High. It was also, I think, a Nickelodeon series.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling at 16. I did I did the first 7 episodes in 21 days.
Oh, my gosh.
2.5 days an episode. It was shot really, really quickly. It was about the kids and on a cruise ship. They were going to high school on a cruise ship back in the 90s.
Yeah,
Breaker High.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling was the first show. He was 16. I used to carry him to set on my shoulders.
Wow.
He said, I'm not going to set unless you carry me. I said, yeah, I'll carry you. Whatever.
No. You got a lot of good Canadian. We we get a lot of good Canadian talent down here.
That's
and
good.
A lot of the comedians too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're exported to the States. Got to stay in Canada too. But I did the same thing.
I have a good sense of humor.
I ran away to Los Angeles 20 years ago, so I did the same thing.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I moved down there in 96, I think.
And so
I live on airplanes now. I'm all over the place. So.
Yeah. Oh.
And what a life you run, and very, very cool.
Yeah, but Julie, we're going to put it out there that there's going to be an Oscar someday for you.
Thank you. Let's just say by
65.
Yeah, maybe 65, 70, I can win a nice Oscar. I've got to make a really great movie, too.
That would be cool, you know. Do you still have your good head of hair?
Oh, yeah, you have. I've seen it.
Okay,
yes.
So a good head of hair.
It's my real hair, too.
Good tux. Yep. I see you holding the Oscar.
I love that.
And you're just saying... I was a young boy.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yes.
That's right.
I see it happening.
We got it.
And
when you do it, you can say thanks to the girlfriends.
I will. I'll say thanks to the girlfriends and the podcast that really solidified my career. I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to say, man, did you guys see that new Hallmark movie done by David Winning? I'm going to say it so many darn times that people are going to be like, that director, David Winning. Wow, that's great, you know.
Well, I want you to all watch Field Day in August or September, whenever Hallmark runs it. It's a really,
Is it a Christmas one, though?
No.
It's a back-to-school movie.
David Winning. You know.
Yeah, there you go.
I know, but
And like I said, I can't tell you who's in it yet because Hallmark hasn't announced it, but it's long finished.
It's waiting.
I know, but I can't tell you.
I like the suspense.
Okay. All right.
David, thank you so much for coming on and giving me the time.
Yes.
It has been such a joy. I so appreciate it. I mean, you're not going to understand, but we're going to talk about you for the next hour and a half, 2 hours. So
we're kind of thrilled.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate the support. It's just great to have support from anybody, from World Fest, from you guys, from anything. It's fun to buoy each other up and make your podcast a success, and people who want to make movies get out there and make them.
Everybody go to that film festival in Houston this weekend and davidwinning.com.
So, girlfriend, how was the show?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.